Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else. The afterworld. A world of never-ending happiness. You can always see the sun. Day.
Podcasting from the mega city metropolis of Toronto, you are now listening to the Cave of Solitude, your comic book and pop culture podcast. I am your host, Eric Anthony, but nobody is listening to this show to hear my voice. They're here to listen to the luscious voice, the wonderfully charismatic, the lovable, the beautiful, and diva of podcasts, Daph J.
I'm back.
How's it going, Lady J?
It's going.
Now, as always, Daph J, before we get into the details of the episode, give us your weather report and traffic to go along with it.
Okay. It's springtime.
Okay.
And that's when birds start singing.
Birds are singing. The sun's out early in the morning. I got nice, bright sunshine going to work.
Sun is shining. But it's still bloody cold.
It's snowing in Newfoundland. How do you feel about that?
Is it Cleveland or something?
No, it's like Denver.
Denver is under snow.
Aren't you? The counter blessing is the sun's still out.
No.
We gotta wear a sweater.
There's no reason why my spine should be hurting me as I'm walking home. Walking home with my dog because I'm shivering.
Yeah, dressing warm enough.
But I shouldn't have to. That's the thing. This is my complaint. I shouldn't have to be wearing my parka.
So it's still too cold for you.
That's ridiculous. This is stupid. Which is why I'm fighting a cold.
Okay, yeah.
And so I do not sound my charming self.
Oh, you sound your charming self.
This episode. I'll try. And I've been sneezing.
And you got a little bit of the raspiness in there. I like the raspy voice. It's cute. Even sexy, if you might say. What's on tap for tonight? What are you drinking? Because every episode there's ice cubes jingling in the microphone, thanks to you. So what do you know what your concoction is tonight?
I'm trying to smell out of one nostril. I smell.
Can you even taste it? Yeah, nice. Smacking. That's what we need. Ice cubes and smacking.
I smell amaretto.
No amaretto.
Okay.
It's a mystery drink.
I smell ginger ale.
Okay.
And orange juice.
Yeah, a little bit.
And alcohol.
There is a mystery alcohol in there.
Oh my goodness.
In the morning, I'll tell you what it was.
Wait, is it absinthe?
No absinthe. No, no.
We do have some of that, though.
Yes, we do.
Mm-hmm.
They say it makes you hallucinate. Hasn't happened yet. Maybe I haven't had enough. We'll try that next episode, see what we come up with.
Oh my goodness.
All right, Daph J, tell us what's going on in the world. Give us the latest news.
So today is the day after. Nope, it's the 2 days after. Sad news in the music world. Prince has passed away.
Yeah, that is sad.
Unexpectedly.
Very unexpectedly.
I don't think nobody knew. And there's reports that people are saying that he was fighting a cold. Oh my goodness, I have a cold.
You're going to die. He had a flu. They're saying he had a flu.
Yeah, they're saying it was a flu, but he was still performing. And when he performed, people said that he was lively and he appeared healthy. And nobody knows what happened. But a music icon has died.
So in 2016, you already lost David Bowie. Like, out of nowhere, just boom, that happened. People were shocked. But in the case of Prince, where would you rank him amongst musicians and artists and performers? Like, where do you think his status is? Because what always happens is, once somebody dies, all of a sudden, their stock of legendary status goes up, right? Some people who barely had a career even start are revered. Movies are made of them, right?
Right, right.
So in the case of somebody like Prince, who is well known and well respected, where do you think his legacy is? In what pantheon? What category?
Well, I don't... It's kind of like, you know, who, like, if you don't know who Prince is, it's like, where have you been? If you don't know that he's an icon, it's kind of like, where have you been? But at the same time, I feel like I'm more familiar with his older stuff, like in the 80s and,
yeah,
like, Purple Rain and Little Red Corvette and, you know, Doves Cry, like, those types of stuffs.
Right.
Or, like, what is it? What's that song? He'll Love You Until He Dies or something like that. Like, those are the stuffs I know.
Okay.
But from the sounds of it, in the media today, it seems like he was always, he is a legend.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm being honest, it's not like I followed any of his recent stuff. And then to now know that he's recorded a ton of stuff that's never been released.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't even be able to really give a judgment or an opinion on any of his, on most of his work, because he's kind of kept it in the vault.
Yeah,
It's more like it's all what you're hearing other people say, that he had very, like, this work ethic. He was very, he demanded perfection, not of just people, of himself. He played multiple instruments. I didn't know that. I've heard, but I didn't know that he played, what is it, like 12?
I think it was upwards of 30.
Okay, instruments. See, this, like, something that's ridiculous. Insane.
I can't even, I don't know if I can name 30 instruments.
And that's amazing. That's amazing, but I, yeah, I don't know much of him outside of the earlier stuff. I don't know enough to say, like, yeah, he was amazing, but it sounds like he was, and I'm not gonna argue that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, just the stuff that he's known for, as far as, like you said, his older pieces of work, I think everybody has heard, danced, listen to in your car a Prince song, and you've been happy about it.
Yeah.
And having been so prolific, and, like, here's the thing. He lived a life that was very, very private, and
I like that.
I do too. I respect it, because he had a certain, he stuck by certain beliefs and ideals for himself throughout his different decades that he lived through, but he was never in the public eye to the point of it being scandalous, like the way Michael became, with all of the controversy of reports of child stuff and all that jazz. But in the case of Prince, having been, he created, like, this mysticism around him. Like, he's very, anytime he showed up at the Grammys, standing ovation. The guy never said anything.
Yeah.
Like, this reverence that people had and respect for his musicianship is what really people respected. And he's the one guy, there's very few I can think of, but I can't compare him to anybody else. He is Prince.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you are in that category where you can't be compared to another person, you are in a different category altogether.
A whole different realm.
Yeah, a whole different realm of what would be the word? Music genre? I mean, you can't even categorize his music,
because
mm-hmm. it's got so much fused into it.
What I really liked about him, I think, is that I think he was very comfortable. He wasn't a people pleaser.
Yeah.
Very comfortable with doing what he did.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. That's a great point.
Whether it was, like, with the makeup or the costume, mm-hmm. or, like, he really embraced that part of his life.
Yeah.
With, like, full-fledged.
Completely individual.
But at the same time, there's not much that, I guess, people knew of him, I think, unless he allowed.
He was an enigma, for sure.
I kind of like that.
He had this persona that carried a weight that when he did speak, people were like,
yeah, keep speaking.
Yeah, he was a strange cat, but he made an impact.
But people said he was very funny too.
Yeah, apparently he would have been a great stand-up comedian.
Yeah.
And this was being said by comedians.
Yeah.
This wasn't just by, like, his close friends. I think it was Cedric the Entertainer who had said, like, if he didn't play music, he would have been as funny as the best of us, because he was just quick-witted.
Mm-hmm.
Favorite song from Prince?
When Doves Cry.
Hands down?
There's so many, but that one makes me want to dance on my tippy toes.
What about Bat Dance?
Okay, yeah. But When Doves Cry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't realize at the time, because I was really young. I was like 5 or 6. And I had watched the Batman movie so much as a kid, right? That he was throughout that film. Like, the soundtrack was all him.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Until I was older.
Party Man and the end scene where the Batwing comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently Joker was a Prince fan. That was his artist. That's who he always played when he was vandalizing museums or poisoning people.
Yeah, this is true.
Maybe it's the purple connection.
Hmm.
But for me, I would say I really like, obviously, Purple Rain. And, oh man, I can't remember the name of the song now. It's track 2 off of the Purple Rain album. I really like that song.
Oh, that one.
That one.
Oh.
I should look it up so I don't sound like a big jerk. Take Me With You. That's what it's called. Take Me With You.
Sing it. How does it go?
Oh, you want me to sing it?
I don't know what you're talking about. How's it go?
It's dun 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 dun.
That sounds like 90210 right now. Dun dun dun
dun. Come on, it's this one. You've heard it before. Ring a bell?
Oh.
Yes. Yeah.
Good one.
See, what I like about when I hear these old songs from him, how much random instruments he would include in songs that you didn't think were... Like, it wasn't just a pop song, like When Doves Cry, that makes you want to dance. It also had that heavy guitar solo as well.
Yeah.
And being ignorant, like, as a teenager, I remember when... remember the Outkast album, The Love Below?
Yeah.
From Andre 3000.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody thought it was like, so, what a musical genius. And he's just like doing something so avant-garde. And to me, it was just a total ripoff of Prince. That knowing now. At the time, I was like, wow, he's amazing.
You fell into that mold?
Oh, yeah. I thought, it won album of the year and everything, right? That album from at the Grammys. I think it was the first hip-hop album to win in that big category of best album of the year. But I went back and listened to some old Prince from the 80s, and I'm like, this guy was like...
He did it first.
Totally did it first, like completely. Yeah. Even some of the ways that he spoke, the ways that his inflections in the mic, all of those things were just totally channeling Prince. And then I hear other people today, you see like the Justin Timberlakes and these other artists with the falsettos, and it's totally... Totally. So there's so many artists that you can compare to him, but I don't think you can compare Prince to anybody else. He's in that, like, separate category.
Well, I think a lot of people, too, have acknowledged that he was an inspiration, and they got a lot of stuff from him, too. So he obviously is a very influential person in the industry, and people like him.
Here's a question for you. Prince or Michael?
Oh, okay. Funny story. Hmm. My boss told me he liked Prince better than Michael. Just out of nowhere.
Why?
Because he was bright and his music was like very lively. And he had, what was the word? He's Russian. So he used a very elaborate word to describe Prince. But yeah, he liked him over Michael because he just thought he was more
total package.
Yeah, just very blooming. And very, you know what I mean? This is what I'm doing.
You're doing the hand gestures again. Last time you did the hand gestures, I didn't know what it was. It looks like you're saying hallelujah one more time. So... Prince over Michael.
Okay, this is my boss.
That's your boss.
Me? I think they're both very, very different.
Yes.
They are different.
Yes. No, I mean, they're contemporary, so it's easy to compare them.
You know what? Prince. Because his eyeliner, I guess, was better than Michael's.
When you saw old footage of him, you're like, that's what I'm trying to get with my makeup.
That's what I'm trying to do. That's... Okay, like, goals. Yeah.
Life goals.
Yeah.
Do your makeup like Prince. So even the women can find something in Prince that they admired.
I don't know, but you know what it was? I think I feel like Prince didn't make any apologies for who he was. It seems like he was very comfortable in his skin. And not to say that Michael wasn't. I think he was very much a performer, and he executed every time.
But you're right. That's a good point. Michael Jackson never seemed comfortable in his skin.
Yeah. It was, like, very, like... And, but, you know, and Prince was shy. He wasn't, like, a talker or like, you know, here I am.
Mm-hmm.
Look at me. But if you did engage in a conversation, I think, with him, from interviews that have been shown or that we've seen, if you were to actually have a deep, sophisticated conversation with him, he was an open book in that way. You know, it wasn't like he held back or apologized for his views on certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that. As mm-hmm. opposed to with Michael, when you would hear him express himself, it was kind of like... trying to figure out this child, this man child,
like a kid, yeah.
And just very insecure. And it's probably due to a lot of things that he went through.
Yeah, for sure. It was kind of sad.
It was sad. As opposed to Prince, he just seemed very comfortable.
Yeah.
And kind of like, yeah, this is who I am. And these are my views, or this is how I feel about this. And he spoke highly on matters that mattered.
To him, yeah. Especially to him, yeah.
Yeah.
It's true.
Even though they may not have been popular views
yeah.
at the time or whatever, right? Like, even, I guess, racially, when they asked him what he thought about Barack Obama being voted in or being considered as president. Because, race obviously had a lot to do with the elections.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't play that, I guess, how do I say this? He didn't jump on that to be because I'm black, I have a right to say all of this.
Right.
Or because I'm black, I have a right to not say all of this. He was just very eloquent, I think, in his speaking about things.
Right.
And was comfortable with it.
Yeah.
Which I like.
Well, and you're right. He wasn't apologetic for what he believed in and what he expressed to people, which is true.
So rest in purple, Prince. That's what we have to say about that.
Yeah, I haven't listened to enough of his music growing up to be able to do a spotlight episode on him, but I will say that Purple Rain album is one of my favorites. I bought it on vinyl as well on CD, and it's a classic. One of the greatest albums I've ever listened to. All right, Daft J. You've brainstormed quite a bit for our show of different types of episodes we can do. In the past, you said, let's do our favorite movie soundtracks. Let's do our favorite guilty pleasure movies. Not necessarily our favorite movies, but those movies that maybe time has forgotten that we still love. What else have you come up with? Book clubs. You've selected some interesting books. What have you read this week, by the way? You've been on a tear reading books. So before we get into the subject matter of the episode, tell me what you've read recently.
I've been reading Daredevil.
So you stuck to your guns and read Daredevil.
I did. I said it.
You said it.
And I can come back with a high head. this situation.
Yeah.
And
your shoulders
can,
up.
I can proudly say I stuck to my guns and I'm reading more Daredevil stuff.
So you're in that Marvel universe now.
I'm so in the universe, I'm missing train stops. Like, I was going northbound to Finch Station. It's a terminal station in Toronto. And then, I saw my boss on the train, right? And I wanted to go take a seat. And then
Same Russian guy who likes Prince over my
head. Yeah. So, could I stay down in the city? And I was walking around looking for stuff and shopping and stuff. And then I'm like, okay, now I want to go home. And then I'm like, oh my goodness, there's my boss. No. So then I turned around and I found an empty seat and I sat down and then I got lost in my book. And then I'm like, oh, it's Shepherd Station. My boss should be getting off soon because this is where he lives. So I see him get off and I'm like, okay, like, fine. He's gone. I'm still on the train. A couple more stops to go. Now I'm reading my book and then I hear that I'm at Shepherd Station again. And I'm like, heh? And then I look up and then it's, no, there's no platform. I look behind me and the platform's behind me. And I'm like, why am I on the other side of the tracks? This doesn't make any sense. So I got up and I picked up my book. I picked up my bag and I'm standing there and I'm like, Oh my goodness.
Completely disoriented.
I was going back to the city. I was going back downtown. Completely got lost in my book. Missed my style completely. I was in a trance. And then I'm like, okay, focus. Because you need to go home now.
Yeah.
And I finally got here.
Well, and that shocks me because anytime I'm on the train with you,
I have fallen asleep with my mouth open. And I don't miss a stop. Like, no, the true story. This has really happened. And I've actually gotten up and made it just in time for I've never missed my stop. This was the first time where I was like in shock. And I'm like, oh my goodness, it's that good.
I think we should, whatever book you're referring to, we should do for our next book club. If it was that enthralling that you, because you are the type of person where you're, when work is done, you don't really like to linger. You don't really like to take your dilly-dally too much to get home. And when, especially on the train, getting off, getting to those stairs, the escalators, you have a way of weaving through the crowd to not deal with the crap. And I lose you every time I'm on the train with you. So for you to miss your stop and go backwards because you're so into a book that didn't make you fall asleep, that's impressive.
That's a big deal.
So how are you feeling? Just briefly tell us, how are you feeling about the Marvel Universe as you are reading more into it? I know you've read Daredevil, but you also read some Spider-Man as well.
Yeah, I read. Okay, so what I did read of Spider-Man was the Civil War.
Right.
Edition.
Yeah.
But from Spider-Man's perspective, because we know in the Civil War that I originally read, what, 2 years ago, was it? Or it was a year ago?
Yeah, just over a year.
Spider-Man reveals his identity in this story arc. And now I'm reading it from his perspective.
Ark.
Yeah. That's a good one. Okay. The Spider-Man Civil War.
And you know what? That's probably a good choice to go with for a book club because the Civil War is like right around the corner.
Yeah.
Jinx on you.
Say my name.
No.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I got to say your name. But I need you to talk through the podcast. So Daphne J. Okay, so you're enjoying the adventure into other publishing of comic books and different characters.
I'm particularly liking Daredevil because I feel like, okay, he's the blind one.
Mm-hmm.
obviously. But I feel like reading things from the perspective of a person with that disability of not being able to see, you appreciate your senses a bit more. And there's some parts in the pages, some pages are completely dark, they're completely black, but he paints a picture of what he hears, what he feels. For example, this one issue here, there's a client of his who is wrongly dismissed or fired from work, and he's trying to get him to recall what was done or said and trying to piece things together so he can kind of collect evidence to see if he has a case. But the lawyer defends? The client.
What's in that drink?
He's like, you know, what happened? What did you say? Did you do anything? He's like, I don't remember. This happened so long ago. I can't recall details. So he's like, okay, that's fine. He's like, what do you want to drink? And then he's like, I'll have tea. He's like, what kind of tea? And he's like, okay, I'll have lemongrass mint. It's like a very gourmet tea. And he's like, yeah. He's like, smell of all the senses. The olfactory has the strongest link to memory. So what else do you got? What kind of things were you wearing that day? Did you wear a tie? He's like, yeah, I wore a tie. So he puts a tie around him. He's like, were you at your desk? Yeah, I was. What, did you have a telephone? Did you have the computer? What side was the telephone on? So it's almost like he repaints this picture to put the client right back in that situation. He's like, were you wearing dress shoes? Let's put on dress shoes for you. What were you feeling? What, did you have pencils? Did you have, okay, you had lemongrass that day? Have the smell kind of recall. Yeah, and then it's kind of like, it's a story being told about someone else, but you're almost like, it brings that story to life.
You completely invested.
Yeah. And all of a sudden I smell lemongrass. Really? I'm in the train, and then I'm like, yeah, like, and then I'm picturing this scene, although obviously it's drawn for me, but can actually put yourself, and then you feel, and then it's like you're kind of recalling the panels that you saw when these actual events happened, and they're kind of coming back to you as well. So it's almost like my senses are being heightened also.
Oh, that's awesome.
You know what I'm saying? Like, cool. It's a really cool, I like reading that because I feel like it's tapping into those other.
And which Daredevil is this? Do you know who wrote this Daredevil?
Yeah, I'm reading it. Of course I know. Of course you know it. Like, honestly, why would you even? Like, it's such an. So obviously it's Mark Waid.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Thank you for quickly.
Yeah, I can even tell you the penciler and the inker and the color list, everything. The artist, color artist. I can tell you everything.
But okay, you don't got anyone to tell those details. It's not necessary. But it's the Mark Waid Daredevil.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And his run on Daredevil is extremely celebrated. Like, he did a different kind of take in not making it as dark as
Frank Miller.
Yeah, and people kept going with that for a while. So Mark Waid, if anyone wants a really good Daredevil, but it's more of a swashbuckling adventure, but still true to the character, Mark Waid's Daredevil is phenomenal. I highly recommend it. But before we start doing a comic book book review like we usually do, I want to go back to your recommendation. So you did the movie soundtracks. You did our favorite guilty pleasure movies, and those were really fun episodes. So tonight, we're 26 minutes into it.
Who cares? This is our world. Everyone else
absolutely
just lives in it.
Absolutely.
Next.
But we are going to now discuss, and this was your idea, 5 movies that shouldn't be remade. Now, this could be very quick, like, okay, you name one, I name one. This was your idea. So you're gonna bring the charm? are you gonna make this interesting for us here? With your selections, your 5 selections? Are you gonna explain to me why these movies shouldn't be remade, or are you just gonna say, next? What's gonna happen here? Cause this could be like finished at minute 30.
I think we can lighten it up a little bit.
Yeah?
Yeah, add some color, a splash of color.
A splash of color, yeah. A splash of tequila in your
drink. Oh, is that what it is? I'm trying to figure it out this whole time.
But you're enjoying it, it looks like. There's not much left.
Yeah, no.
Okay, so do you feel confident about your movie? Will I be impressed with these selections, or are you going to pick everything that I picked? Like, you probably looked at my list.
I did. What do you... First of all, I don't know where your list is.
Okay.
And...
Okay. We'll see.
But you and I... See, the scary thing about this is that you and I have the same taste in movies. So.
This is true. But you do surprise me from time to time. From time to time when you... A lot of things you like, I like. But then sometimes you say things like Critters. And we still haven't gotten over that agree to disagree segment of our lives with Critters. And in my case, Lois and Clark, New Adventure Superman.
Classic! But anyway, it's okay. Not everyone feels that way. It's fine.
All right, so 5 movies that shouldn't be remade. Because we live in a world where every year you're getting about 5 remakes. Some of them are good.
Yeah.
Some of them are. And then some of them are like, why did they bother? So, since I like you, and you're pretty, and you're a lady, you can go first.
All right, you ready for this?
My socks better be knocked off. That's all I'm telling you. All
right. It's not in any specific order.
No specific order. This is just top of our heads type of list.
All right.
I got 9, by the way.
What?
Just in case you take all of mine.
There's dupes?
Just in case I needed alternates.
What if I didn't have a backup plan?
But that's why you're going first.
Okay. Okay. I'm not delaying anymore. Top Gun.
First one on my list. First one on my list.
Shut up.
I'm shutting it down right now. I don't like doing this with you. This is the same thing that happened when we did the soundtracks. You took it right off the top. Okay, go ahead.
All
right.
That's my pick.
Didn't I say bring the charm? That's your pick? Why is that your pick? Okay. Obviously Top Gun. But can I just say before you continue, they're coming out with Top Gun 2.
No.
Yep.
No.
Yes.
What?
That's right.
okay, at least they're not remaking the first one, but why would they do who? Okay. What?
Yeah.
How do you know this?
Yeah, they're making it. It's in production.
Is he like a colonel or something?
He's Pete Mitchell.
So he's reclaiming his role,
yeah. It's a sequel.
Okay, so this is why I like this movie. His jacket
is like a character in itself.
Absolutely. 100%. With the white t-shirt. It has to be with the white t-shirt underneath. Can't be any other way.
Yeah.
Okay.
That look is just...
And those sunglasses, those Ray-Bans...
Were they Ray-Bans?
Who cares? They are Ray-Bans. We're going to say it because it looked like it. Those aviator glasses.
Beautiful.
That
thing of beauty.
And then...
They could have just had him riding a motorcycle through the whole thing. It would have been great.
And then him flying upside down and flipping the bird and taking a picture. Like, that. Like, there's such iconic things in that movie. Him being on the bike and... You know,
the one-liners, it's true. As a kid,
I don't think that type of persona can be replicated again in that movie, that character in the movie.
I think that's the movie that, it's safe to say, made Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise, that was the one.
Yeah,
because before that, he had been in some, you know, movies that people know of. But that movie established him as the man.
Yeah.
The leading man. Because from there on, he was like, you know, one of the number one guys in Hollywood. If not the number one guy. Great soundtrack.
That was in my notes.
Go ahead.
I thought this was me.
This is your pick. I'm stealing your thunder. Well, it was my first pick. If you want to look at my list, my first pick. So, go.
Why did you pick it also then?
Well... Here's the thing. I was thinking to myself, is it movies that are remade as far as, like, you know, there was a Total Recall and then they just remade a Total Recall for 2012, whatever year that was made? Or is it them revisiting something? So, like, for instance, they're remaking Independence Day, right? Part 2. They're making Independence Day Part 2 coming up this year. So, is it...
How do you know this?
I... keep up with what's going on.
Well, I guess if you have a podcast, you should know what's happening. But
So I'm thinking to myself, is it just stuff that they're making sequels of, like 20 years later, 30 years later, that is a remake to me? Or is it them completely redoing a movie? And to me, it's kind of part and parcel of that. Sometimes, like, for instance, a Batman sequel, like, you got to revisit that, right? But then there's stuff like Top Gun that just don't revisit that.
No.
Don't go back. Don't touch it. Leave those characters where they were. And it's best left untouched, in my opinion. Because it left such a mark where I feel like if you revisit it and try to check out where Pete Mitchell is now or whatever, it kind of taints the original classic.
Even his nemesis was... You know what I mean? Like Iceman with the...
the chomp?
Yeah. Like, you can't redo that again. No. You just gotta leave it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and it's such a cool movie. The soundtrack itself is great. The Righteous Brothers were, like, hyped up in that movie. You know what I mean?
And, like, you know what? That's not on the soundtrack. It always disappointed me.
I know how you feel about that. I think we all know how you feel about that. It isn't on the soundtrack. It's a bit disappointing. But when you hear that movie, you do think Top Gun, you think Tom Cruise, you think... And I don't think of him, like, in the whites. I think of him, like, at the end of the credits where everyone's, like, smiling and everybody has, like, their name, who played who. You know what I'm saying?
Baby.
That's what I think of. Like, when I hear that, I'm like, yeah, I want to watch that movie.
I always wanted to know why Tim Robbins is in that movie at the end.
It's a crazy question mark. And
if I met Tim Robbins, that's what I would ask him. I wouldn't ask him anything about Shawshank.
He was probably visiting the set one day. Yeah. And they're like, you know what? You want to put on a fighter suit? And he's hard to miss because he's like way up here.
Oh, yeah. Right in the middle of the celebration.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want that movie. I don't know how. I'm not excited for the sequel.
I didn't even know they were making another one. So, are they even hyping it up? Like,
what? It will be hyped up. But Top Gun, in my book, is one of those movies you can watch number of times a year, and it holds up.
Yeah, yeah.
It always holds up.
Absolutely.
All right.
Your turn.
All right. My pick, since Top Gun was stolen, I don't think we ever need to have a remake of this perfectly crafted movie that surpasses every genre of movie. I mean, it's a comedy, it's an action, it's romance. It's almost as perfect in how it's structured as Back to the Future, and people know how I feel about the
future. I know what you're going to say. Oh no, it's on the list.
I don't think they should make Princess Bride. Remake that movie.
Nope, that's not what I was thinking.
Princess Bride is on the top of my list for movies that should never be remade. Classic in every sense of the word. Okay, perhaps the soundtrack isn't as powerful as the Top Gun, but what a great movie. What do you think about that? Are you a fan of Princess Bride?
I am a fan of the movie poster and how the Princess Bride is written out. And if you flip the movie upside down, DVD or the poster, packaging. Yeah, it's written exactly the same. I think that's brilliant. It was like really a cool mirror image, yeah, of itself.
That's really cool.
That's amazing.
And that's it.
That's all.
How do you not think Princess Bride is fantastic? Like, there...
I feel... No, you know what it is? You know what I think? Why I don't like Princess... Okay, it's not that I don't like it.
Inconceivable that you don't like Princess
it's
Bride.
It's not that I don't like it. I think I don't like the fact that everybody is so all about the Princess Bride. It's almost like it's a fad. Like, and every time people kiss... Or people put a picture on Instagram about their husband and wives and being all happy. And, oh, it's my anniversary. Everyone always has to comment, marriage. It's like, you know what? I understand. It's a thing. It was said. We all know. But it's like a little cult that's become this thing. This
the cult following.
Yeah. And I...
Marriage is what brings us here today.
Yeah, like, I can't go anywhere without anyone saying that once. At least once. And I'm just like, are you a real fan? Or are you just following the crowd? That's my annoyance about this whole Princess Bride. And, like, Buttercup? I think her name's amazing. But other than that, not so much. Actually, no.
Come on, Robin Wright!
I like when he calls him... a pig, and he can't.
Possibly,
like,
pig.
Yeah, and then he can't even move. But like, that's funny.
But look how many things you said that are just great already.
And I like Andre the Giant. He's very very sweet.
Anybody want the peanuts?
Yeah, that I like that.
He's so good.
Okay, I like this movie.
And you got young Fred Savage who looks like a young Eric Anthony in his bed, sick. With the Secret Wars Captain America on his bed and playing video games. I mean, imagine your grandfather coming to visit you when you're sick and reading you a wonderful story like that. That's great. As you wish.
My grandparents rubbed Vicks on my throat when I was sick and then walked away. That's the most I got.
That's right. Imagine if they sat with you all day and read you a wonderful story. Like Princess Bride. It's so lighthearted, but it has so much emotion to it. Like, think about all of the things that you can laugh at, and then at the same time the things that you can take, like, affect you emotionally.
I'm not saying it's a terrible movie.
Inigo Montoya.
I'm just saying that it just seems to be...
It's faddish.
If it's a girl sleepover, that's the movie they're watching. You know what I mean? Anyway, it doesn't matter. It's a great movie. Good pick. Great pick.
Doesn't need to be remade. I hope it's never remade.
It really shouldn't.
No, it's timeless.
That's the point of this conversation. Who cares what I think? But I agree with you. It should not be touched. I think it should be left alone.
Can we sometime in the Cave of Solitude future do an episode focused on this movie?
Sure.
Yeah. Maybe we'll get the little sparrow and our wild card to chime in.
Sure.
Yeah.
It'll probably be mostly you guys.
I think perhaps there was a time where I hyped this movie up too much for you, and...
You know what it is? I forget how good it is until I watch it. Does that make any sense?
I totally agree.
Like, it's like, you watch it, you're like, oh, we're gonna watch this again. And then you're watching it, and you're like, yeah, this is why it's so... Yeah, I'm so happy. I'm watching this right now. Yeah, it's
so good.
But then it's like, once it's done, it's like, oh my goodness, okay, I can't watch this again. Like, I'm done. I'm good. And then you put it in again, and you're like, yeah, I can't stop watching it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I don't think there's anything you could recreate in that movie to make it better than what they already done.
Yeah, it had a good thing of everything. It had comedy, it had, you know, there was a love story, there was the enemy, there was a bad guy, there
Prince Humperdinck. What a stupid name.
Wow, that was his name for reals?
Yeah, it's great.
That was
Susan Sarandon's first husband, by the way.
Susan Sarandon. The husband? The king?
Yeah, the prince. Yeah, that was her first husband.
He's creepy.
Yeah.
He's creepy. Wasn't there a witch in that movie?
No, but there was the woman in Buttercup's dream that Boos terrified me. I sometimes have nightmares of her.
Boo. That was played by Billy Crystal, Boo. Right?
Oh, no. Billy Crystal played the guy who was a medicine man that gave him the potion to bring Wesley back to life, but he didn't have any body movement yet. Just his head moved from side to side. It's so funny. Yeah,
and that's when he said...
Possibly. Pig.
Yeah. Yeah, that was good. Yeah.
All right.
I rewound that a couple of times. That's a good one.
You said that to me a couple of times yourself.
Yeah, I probably have. That's a good pick. I agree with you.
Okay.
I'm not trying to be a hater.
No.
I just think, like I said, I think I dislike more that those that do say they like it, it just doesn't seem as genuine as you. Like, you're
thank you.
You know things. You know people's... like, the king's name. Like, nobody talks about the king. Mm. No one says stuff. But, anyway, that's my spiel about that.
What's next on your list?
Me?
Yes.
What's Dirty Dancing. Two?
Good pick.
Dirty Dancing should never be touched again. I know that there was a sequel that was made.
I don't think it was Havana? About Havana Nights.
I never saw it.
No one needs
I never
to.
Will see it.
No.
I think it's a great, great movie. It's one of my faves, actually. I think the soundtrack is the movie, also.
Oh, absolutely.
I think the fashion in that timeline was great. I think it was very timeless. Like, you can watch it now and be like, yeah, that's...
So far, every movie we've mentioned, I think were made within the same 3 years.
Yeah.
I think Top Gun was 86. I think Dirty Dancing was 86 or 87. And Princess Bride as well. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
I could be wrong. Don't quote me on that. But I'm almost certain those three movies that we've just mentioned right now were all in that same 5 years of being released.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was looking up... Once I put a list together, I looked up some movies that... are like on the rankings of movies that should never be remade. Dirty Dancing was number one.
Really?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, so good pick.
I know what I'm talking about.
You know, he knows what you're talking about.
It is. I think it's a great story. And I kind of wonder.
It's a fun movie to watch. I don't know about it being a great story.
It
but
is a great story.
It's fun to look.
It was a personal experience from this girl who was... basically had her life planned out for her.
Yeah, yeah.
But came into her own.
Yeah.
In this one hot and heavy summer. And learned things about herself.
So cool, man.
Learned things about her family. And learned things about the...
the society she was a part of.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And was kind of breaking the mold a little bit. So I think there was a lot... behind, like, that carried weight behind that movie. But, and then there's dancing.
Like, yeah.
Like, of course it's gonna be a great...
I still wanna know what DeLorean Patrick Swayze had to go to the future, grab the vinyl of I had the time of my life and bring it back to the 50s, and everyone knew the song. Like, it, the whole movie is filled with music of that time, which I think is great. And then all of a sudden they got this 80s, you know, radio hit. It's
yeah.
hilarious.
It is, yeah, pretty comical.
But it's part of the fun. Everyone's waiting for that last scene, right? Nobody puts baby in a corner. Mm. So that's your number two.
That's my number two.
All right, let me go back to my list. All right. So, this is a movie I can see them remaking. Attempting to remake. To try to update it and make it resonate with a generation of young people. And I don't think it should ever be touched. And as dated as it may seem, it's a movie that is no special effects. It's got no sci-fi aspect to it. But it's a movie that I can sit and watch almost any time it's on. And it doesn't get old. My second pick is Breakfast Club.
That's
Breakfast Club is timeless. It's a snapshot of a teenagers of a specific era and generation, but it deals with themes that don't need to, it doesn't have to be remade. And I think at some point in time they'll try to do it, but I think it should just be left alone where it is. And it should be viewed by everybody growing up at some point. Because it's just that movie. It's Breakfast Club. But I think they're gonna remake that one day, and it'll really upset me. Cause they're gonna change it and make it with all these like updated themes and.
Yeah, people are gonna have iPhones.
Yeah, yeah. Like there's a certain part of that movie that just is a lot of fun because of when it took place.
Mm-hmm.
You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think it's just. It's an interesting movie because it's set in basically one room almost the whole time. Almost. They're in the library. They run around the hallway a little bit. But the strength of the dialogue of that movie and the characterization of all of them. And even, well, remember we watched that pop-up video version of The Breakfast Club?
Yeah.
And we learned all those little...
Factoids,
yeah, about how Judd Nelson was literally... playing that part in, like, every day.
Basically 24/7. He became that person.
He became that person.
Yeah.
And he, to the point where, like, even the actual principal was starting to hate him. The guy who played the principal was like, you're really making me sick now because you gotta turn this off. So, I don't know. There's just certain magic about that that just leave it be.
Yeah, I think a lot of the... And the reasons why a lot of these movies can't be touched or shouldn't be is because the people that made it what it was, that can't be replicated. It can't be done again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The criminal can't be in your face crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, someone else can try to emulate that, but it'd be impossible. Because the reason why that character is so iconic is because of the person that played him.
Right.
So... Yeah, that's a good pick. I agree, 100%.
So far I haven't taken anything from your list.
No, you haven't.
Okay.
Nope.
Good thing I had some alternatives.
No, but stick to your guns.
No, like, you know what? Because I picked a couple of extras, and we haven't picked the same ones yet.
Mm-hmm.
Besides the Top Gun, it's making me kind of like, okay, which one should I go with? Go ahead. You next.
So this movie is one that I enjoy, but I watch with a heavy heart all the time, which is why I never have the desire to watch it, but I know it's an excellent movie. And because it makes me feel a whole, like, the spectrum of emotions is completely, it's like a roller coaster.
I think I know what it is.
Do you want to take a guess?
No, continue talking about it.
Do you want me to say who's in the movie?
No, I think I know who it is. I think I know what it is.
So do it, I want
to
know.
Do you have anything else you want to talk about it, though? Because I interrupted you. Because you said the emotions, the spectrum of emotions, that you can't revisit it so easily, but you know it's good.
I think amazing acting. Hmm. And his sneakers are the bomb.
Okay, I don't think I know what it is anymore. You reference sneakers.
I like his shoes. You actually have his shoes,
I think. No, I know what it is now. I know what it is now.
Go for it.
Oh, I was going to put this on the list.
But you didn't.
I didn't.
Okay, so I did.
You can't remake Forrest Gump.
No, you can't. You can't remake Forrest Gump.
You know why that movie's so good?
Tell me.
The guy who made Back to the Future made it. Robert Zemeckis.
Oh, yeah. I feel like I may have known that.
I've told you that before.
Okay.
But, I mean, what do you expect? You made Roger Rabbit, Back to the Future, Forrest Gump. Three of the greatest movies of all time. Hands down.
Roger Rabbit should never be remade either. But that's not on my list.
It wasn't on my list either, but you know what? I was thinking the same thing. That was a fist pump into the mic. Roger Rabbit should not be remade.
No, I never want to see another cartoon shoe get dunked into the...
Did you know that J.J. Abrams was on the verge back then, in the late 80s, early 90s, of writing a script for Roger Rabbit 2?
Right?
Yeah.
Really?
He was in a...
What stopped him?
They didn't move forward with it. He's been asked, it was on the Nerdist podcast, they asked him, like, what was it about? What are they? Because you met in a room with Steven Spielberg, and you had all these ideas. Because it was Spielberg who got the two, Disney and Warner Brothers, to merge for that one movie. The only time,
where I think... Where you saw, ooh, I know what you're going to say. I know what you're going to say. Pick me.
Anybody?
My hand is up. Okay. What I was going to say was, this is the first time, and I think the only time, that you see Bugs Bunny and Mickey Mouse together.
That's right.
Big deal.
Yeah.
Huge deal.
And Spielberg is a huge animation fan. Like, he loves animation. Mm-hmm. He was behind Tiny Toons.
Yes, he was.
Right? I think Animaniacs. Like, mm-hmm. He watches all animation. I didn't know this about him. So for that particular movie, I don't know if he must have been a producer for it, but he was the one who got the two studios to merge.
Collaborate,
yeah. So this is a dark horse pick. We're talking about Roger Rabbit right now, but that should not be remade. No. I completely agree.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have minded a sequel, perhaps, but now that Bob Hoskins is no longer with us, it wouldn't be the same.
No.
Right, he was part of why that movie was so good.
Yes.
I think he won a Golden Globe for Best Actor, actually.
No way.
Yes. Hmm. We were talking about Forrest Gump, possibly the greatest movie I've ever seen.
It is. I think it's an unbelievable story that hits so many different eras.
Oh, it's so good. It's such a feel-good movie, and it has so much heart.
It has so much heart. Too much.
Jenny.
Oh, no, don't do it to me. I don't know. It's, but like I said, it hits such different areas, and it fell into, like, even comedy.
Yeah.
Kind of, like, without it being, like...
Forced.
Like, remember when he's running across, like, cross country, and then he gets mud in his face, and then he wipes his face with the yellow t-shirt, he's like, have a nice day.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh my goodness, like, and then he, like, that's where the happy face came from. Not true.
Yeah,
right. Although when I saw the movie when I was little pipsqueak, I'm like, oh my goodness, that's where it came from, because I thought everything was, like, historically factual in this movie.
Yeah.
But that was the thing, right? Like, everything that he did has such impact in this world.
But it was so cool how they seamlessly kind of, like, how, as a kid, he influenced Elvis to dance a certain way. Yeah,
that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, he
was just there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, right place at the right time, and made such an impact on the world without having to take any credit for it.
So great.
And it's an incredible, incredible story, but it really is so heart-wrenching. And his loyal love for Jenny... And his mom.
And Lieutenant Dan.
Oh, my goodness. And Bubba.
and blah blah.
Yeah, I have to stop talking about it. I think it's and his character is one that can never be duplicated.
No.
And he played it amazing.
Tom Hanks' best work.
There's absolutely. And those shoes,
I found a pair of those shoes in New Jersey, tax free, $30. And I wish I could get them again. I haven't seen them ever. I would pay $100 to get another pair of those suckers.
You still got you. They're still kicking.
Those kicks are still kicking. Oh, yeah. They're still in nice shape. I keep those suckers clean. And then when I first saw them, when I bought them, I didn't connect it with the movie. But then when I saw him run cross country with them, I'm like, I have to keep these forever. These are the Forrest Gump kicks.
Yeah.
Great shoes.
The restaurant in Times Square is actually pretty amazing.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's a cool atmosphere to be like, to see like the restaurant that him and Bubba talk about in the movie come to life kind of thing.
My favorite thing about the restaurant is the license plate that they have in the middle of each table.
Yeah.
And when you flip it, it says two things. It says run, Forrest, run, or stop, Forrest, stop. So if you flip it to run, Forrest, run, that allows the waiters to know that they don't have to stop and serve you or you don't need anything.
Mm-hmm.
But once you flip it, it notifies them to come and see if you need,
mm-hmm.
if they need to service you for anything.
Yeah.
If it's to top up your drink or if you want to put in another order. But, like, there's no one lingering saying, is there anything else? Can I help you with anything else? Can I bring anything? Like, I hate when they're, like, on me. Like, I want to spend time with my people. But that kind of allows you to control when it is that someone can come and lend a hand.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no.
I like it. It's a really cool feature. It's a very small thing, but I like
it. It is. No, I was just thinking when you brought that up, I went on a road trip with some boys a couple years ago, and in the hotel room they had, as we were getting ready to leave and go out, we were watching Forrest Gump. Or it was on television, probably in the middle. And that movie's so good. I'm in New York City. I got Times Square right outside. And I'm like, yeah, you guys take your time. Yeah, no problem. I'm watching Forrest Gump. Like, it just completely encapsulates you in it. If you haven't seen Forrest Gump, don't watch it. Buy it.
Mm-hmm.
And watch it repeatedly.
Yeah.
Like, it's definitely a movie worth owning and watching again and again. It's so good. Great pick.
Yeah.
Cannot be remade. I think that one, they may have written a law not to remake that movie.
Are you just being funny?
I'm being funny. I'm trying to make you laugh. Yes.
But that's not unreasonable.
No, that shouldn't be touched.
That should not be touched at all.
No.
Yeah.
Better than that, you can't get. I don't know if I can top it, but I'm going to try.
Go for it.
Movie that should never be remade, because it is, like you said, gives you the range of emotions. It's got such a touching story, very basic in a way, but more heart than this story, I don't think you'll ever find. Beautiful soundtrack. The soundtrack itself can't ever be, like...
It's my turn to guess.
You can guess. Let me wax rhapsodic a little bit more about this movie. It's a great family movie. It's a great kids movie. And as you get older, it still resonates with you if you were a fan of it as a kid. I don't know what makes this movie so good, but it's one of the it's one of those things that make you realize what a great storyteller and director this guy is.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Go ahead.
1982's Extraterrestrial.
E.T.
Am I right?
You're right.
I knew it.
It was on your list.
It was on my list.
Wow.
I hate that movie.
What are you talking about?
I hate that movie.
How do you hate possibly one of the greatest movies of all time?
Because...
How can you hate that? I mean...
Because it makes me want to cry.
I understand.
All the time. From beginning... to end, I'm on the edge of my seat, and I don't enjoy watching that movie because I'm scared out of my mind for E.T.
Yeah.
Like, when they try to hide him, when they put, like, they're trying to keep him safe and nobody can know about him, but like mom's almost home and then they have to put him with the toys.
Is that great where it's just his face?
It's just like, oh man. But and then when he gets sick and then we're after him and then like their friendship is like being threatened and their safety, it's just gut-wrenching. It's a beautiful story and it can never be remade, I don't ever think. I don't care, because of technology being what it is. And I think that's the what makes the movie so charming, is that because of when it was set. And like I said, I was talking to Little Sparrow actually about this. If they were to try to remake that movie with today's technology and let's say kind of redo that scene of him being camouflaged with the stuffed toys, you can't do that with a CGI character if they were to make him that
and
way.
That's the thing, is that he wasn't CGI.
No, he was like a Muppet.
You could, he was tangible.
Touch him, yeah. Like he felt like a even though he was on the screen, it looked tactile. You know what I mean?
And they speaking of the CGI, when they released a special feature version, an updated version, they kind of CGI'd some of the ET scenes a little bit. Mm-hmm. And Steven Spielberg even said, he's like, don't watch that version anymore. Watch the original.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Even after they had done that, and he must have been a part of it, but even for me, I felt a little bit removed.
Of a disconnect.
Just a little bit, because I'm like, it looks too good. It looks too clear, and I remember him being very, like...
raw.
Yeah, exactly.
Real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's what made it so charming.
The Reese's Pieces connection, like, you know, I always associate Reese's Pieces with that movie. Because he brings him to his room by feeding him Reese's mm-hmm. Pieces. As a kid, I loved it. But I didn't understand as much of the meaning behind certain things until I got older. To see how connected... Like, I got it as a kid, but until I got older...
Like what?
To really see... what was happening to E.T. It sounds stupid to say, like, how did you not get that? But to really see how connected him and Elliot had become. Mm-hmm. Like, whatever E.T. experienced, Elliot was experiencing. And E.T. was abandoned from... Not abandoned, but he had been left behind. And Elliot felt like his father left him behind. So there was this friendship between the two that they were both now missing.
But they were able to mend each other.
Yeah, and they both got sick together, and it was just one of those things where it's just this little boy found a friend, and the alien, the extraterrestrial, was able to, I don't know, I guess metaphorically, kind of bring him life again. Mm-hmm. But just the magic of that movie, seeing him ride the bike across, like, oh, it was just...
Yeah, and I think, too, that movie, like, also has, like, an iconic movie poster. Like, you can't replicate that.
No.
That's the movie, that poster says it all.
Just every, like...
With the thing, with the fingers, and then the moonlight. Like, yeah. It's incredible.
The bike going across.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's great. You can't... Don't ever remake that movie. It would be a sin. And there is a theory that E.T. could possibly be part of the Star Wars world. Star Wars universe.
Huh?
That's right. I don't know if you noticed, but when they went out on Halloween, he sees Yoda, a guy dressed as Yoda walking by, and he starts walking towards him like he knows Yoda. Could you imagine a Jedi Council and you see an E.T. sitting there with the glowing finger? He's got Jedi powers. Think about it.
I don't think...
He can move the bike across the cliff. That's Jedi.
I think he was looking at him like fellow alien. Not...
I think he recognized the Yoda.
Okay. All right. That's... But
E.T.'s powers are all Jedi.
Mm. Okay.
No?
Sure. The bike went flying.
He had force.
Yeah, that's a...
good theory.
It is very interesting. I think you've given a lot of people hope.
Can you imagine?
Imagine. That's what it is. It's all imagination. You're freaking me out with your eyebrows right now.
No, I just thought about it. Max Kanata. Imagine she's E.T.'s cousin. The one from the bar
in Force Awakens. I thought she was supposed to be related to Yoda.
What if she's not?
Oh.
What if she's? What if E.T. helped her find the lightsaber?
We have.
We're on a tangent, but this is all.
Merged onto uncharted waters here.
Could be possible.
Are we moving on?
Moving on. Go ahead.
Okay. This next movie, one of my faves. I want to be him every day of my life.
Oh, I know what it is. Go ahead. Keep going.
Yeah? Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah. On my list. Gotta take it off.
Okay, so why was it on your list? Because I think I kind of took the limelight of E.T. a little bit. So
no, go for it. Didn't. But Ferris Bueller's Day Off, again, it's like The Breakfast Club, another John Hughes movie that captures, teenage years. We did a whole episode on this. You should go back and listen to Cave of Solitude, Ferris Bueller episode. We had a lot of fun with that. You're going to remake it. It's just going to ruin it. Everything about that movie is so much fun. The principal's a great villain. The Cameron. Why touch it? Why? Like, what are you going to do? How do you possibly top something like that? It'll just be compared to how good and how loved a movie like that is. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's almost like you're just shooting yourself in the foot and asking for failure, because you'll never be able to recapture the fun that movie is. The humor and the dialogue, the breaking of the fourth wall that he did.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It'll just be forced. And is it perfect? And no, it's not perfect, but that's part of what's great about it, is that it is a little bit silly and far-fetched, and he talks to the audience, and he just takes over a parade.
Yeah.
But that's what's great about it, is that whole, who knows what's possible in a day.
Mm-hmm.
You can make the most of any day of your life. And I just, you'd have to cast it. How do you even cast something like that? Do you put a person that's known?
You'd almost have to replicate it to a T to make it what it was back then. And if that's what you're doing, then just don't touch it.
Or you'd have to remake it with the title and make him be in a, maybe a different city. Or have a whole different reason for taking the day off.
From what, work? From the family? Where, like, what?
No, maybe a high school situation, but maybe you can't make him... You can't recreate it exactly. You'd have to do it different. Maybe have him take school off for a different reason. I don't know, but you're right.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, you're spitballing ideas, and it's just not quite there yet. And it never will be. So don't touch it. I couldn't have said it better myself. Your turn. It's your next
movie. I wanted to just give a little anecdote about Ferris Bueller's Day Off. As far as trying to recreate that character, I heard Jean-Paul Gosselin, or Paul Gosselin, Saved by the Bell, Zach Morris, he was channeling Ferris Bueller. He goes, all I did was copy Ferris Bueller, and that was my character from Saved by the Bell. Zach Morris. Everything about him was a copy of Ferris Bueller.
Tidbit.
There you go. So, if people like Zach Morris, it was because he was trying to be Ferris Bueller. From the mouth of the actor. That was, everyone who thought he was cool, like, I don't know why people thought I was so cool. I was just trying to be Matthew Broderick.
Yeah.
So, it goes to show the staying power of that role. Alright, where was I here? I did Breakfast Club. I did E.T. Did Princess Bride. We on number 4? Okay. This movie has had sequels. A number of them. And they're going to make more of this movie. But as far as trying to redo it, I don't think they should ever redo this movie from like a perspective of, let's start fresh. New actor playing this role for the first time. Kind of like the way they did with Star Trek, if you will.
Okay.
This movie is one of the best adventures you can go on. It's got the little bit of historical aspect to it. It's got kind of like a Western feel to it. James Bond. One of my favorite movies of all time. Possibly this actor has played two of the most important roles in Hollywood. And it's arguable which one he'll be remembered for more. I don't think they should ever remake Raiders of the Lost Ark.
That's not at all what I was thinking.
What were you thinking?
I was thinking The Godfather.
Is that on your list?
Kind of as a backup.
That was on my list as a backup. Okay. Fist pump into the mic. Oh
my goodness, we're like one person. I don't even know why we do these things.
you should just do episodes on our own. Because we're saying the same stuff. But no, Raiders of the Lost Ark. Don't try to redo it. Don't try to update it. Don't try to get a new actor to play.
Why that one and not the other two?
Because that's the one that started it all.
Okay.
That's the one where you always go back to. Cause
that's your intro.
That's your intro. Because the other ones were called Indiana Jones and Temple of Doom. Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade. This one was originally just called Raiders of the Lost Ark. Mm. That was the movie. Now it's known as Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark. But originally, that's all it was. And it was the brainchild, obviously, of George Lucas. He came up with the concept of Star Wars and Indiana Jones around the same time. Star Wars just went first. And Spielberg has said that he wanted to do a James Bond movie. And Lucas said, I got a better idea. But I mean, it's just got, everything is at the right time, you know, fighting the Nazis, going after a religious totem, if you will, for the MacGuffin, as they call it. Like, everyone's chasing after the Ark of the Covenant, which is shrouded in mystery. And it's just, to try to recreate that, who would you get to be a new Indy?
You can't. That's why when they did the Skulls one, they went back to Harrison.
And they're going to make another one with Harrison coming up. That was part of the deal with Lucasfilms, right? Like, if we make another Indiana Jones, Harrison Ford needs to be a part of it.
No way.
I think he said that.
Is Harrison Ford tired of the Indiana character as he was with Han Solo?
See, the thing was,
or does he embrace that character a bit more?
Here's the thing. It's a good question you brought up. From what I've heard recently is that Harrison Ford has said, he goes, I didn't get tired of playing Han Solo. Because I just wanted my character to go out with a meaning. I wanted his life to mean something. Because after whatever happened in Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, in order for the character to last in people's memory, he wanted him to die for the sake of his friends. So that's why I wanted to kill him, not because I didn't want to play him. So from what I understand and what questions people have asked him is that, I think it was Jimmy Kimmel, they said, so you're never playing Indy again, Han Solo again. He was like, he kind of looked at him and everyone was like, you're going to come back as Han Solo. He's like, I can't say anything. Mm-hmm. So from my understanding, you're going to see more Han Solo, whether it's in flashbacks or
some dream sort sequence.
Of, or some sort of prequel kind of situation where he exists.
Okay. Right.
So I don't think Harrison Ford it doesn't want to play it. He just wants to play it for a purpose and make it count.
Mm-hmm.
So Indy or Han, what do you go with to remember Harrison Ford?
Oh, wow, that's pretty, that's hard. That's
two of the most iconic fictional characters brought to you from the screen. Like, can you think of anyone that isn't a comic book character first? Right?
Yeah.
Like, you know Chris Evans is Captain America, but Captain America is Captain America. But when you think of Indy or Han Solo, you can't think of anything other than Harrison Ford.
Right.
Sitting in, you know, the cockpit or riding horseback. So I don't think they should ever try to remake those. And they've talked about it. Do you think it could be done successfully? Chris Pratt, maybe, being Indy? I don't know.
That's actually a pretty good pick, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think he's too comedic? Like, he's just too easily funny? Or do you think he can do it? I kind of saw glimmers of hope when I watched Jurassic Park. A little bit. Jurassic World, sorry.
Yeah.
But
I think he can do it.
You think he could pull it off?
Yeah, but if he has a balanced approach to his comical delivery, because when Indy would do it, it was almost like, oh, that's funny, because it wasn't, he didn't mean for it to be funny.
Yeah, he was, it was just exasperation. It was more
like, he's like, oh, come on now.
Yeah.
That kind of comedy.
Yeah.
It wasn't done on purpose. I think, but that's,
I said, don't go between them.
So it really has to be targeted specifically to channel that type of character. I think Chris Pratt would be great. I think it's a great pick, but it needs to be executed properly.
So Indiana Jones 5, the fifth one, is going to be me. I think Spielberg is going to do it. But number 6, possibly J.J. Abrams with Chris Pratt. Think it'll work? I think that's a good setting for solar flares. All right, your turn. Your number 5.
Well, this, I feel like maybe you don't have this on your list. I can almost guarantee you don't have this on your list. I liked it as a kid. I pretended to sing like this person as a kid because it was fun.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
This is definitely not on my list.
No, it's not. And I feel like you might disagree with me a little bit, but I'm going to then disagree with you back. Okay, ready for this?
Okay.
The Bodyguard.
Should never be remade.
No.
Some people argue The Bodyguard should never have been made.
This is correct. This is correct. I'm not saying that the acting, I'm not saying it was like Forrest Gump, like Oscar winning a performance. No. However, The Bodyguard should not be made. And that's all I have to say about that. Ebashed.
Why The Bodyguard? Would you run out of options?
No,
I'm not disagreeing. Listen, I can honestly see a Bodyguard totally be remade, starring Rihanna and Chris Pine. But you like that?
I thought about that for a second.
And you're like, hey, that's good.
You want to know why? Because I think people think it can easily be remade because there's always a superstar that knows how to sing and can act badly.
They should flip it.
And then there's a white actor who can act in the role of a bodyguard. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it could perhaps be presented as, oh, it's a very easy role to take on. It's a very easy story to retell. And I don't think that it is.
For the record, I like The Bodyguard.
Yeah.
And the soundtrack was pretty cool, too. I'm Every Woman. Favorite song.
But I think the chemistry or lack of in the movie cannot be remade. And
I don't know if the chemistry between Kevin Costner and Whitney was necessarily there.
But that's what I mean.
How about this? Bodyguard remake. We flip it. Justin Timberlake is the singer, because he can act. ScarJo is the bodyguard, Black Widow. It's a hit. That's a hit. I'd watch it.
No.
What?
No, because the girl, because it's
a woman, you know, bodyguard. Who's to say a woman can't be a bodyguard? Yeah, but
that's very, like, 2016 century. Like, it still needs to have some damsel in distress and, you know, the falling in love. And it still has to have some kind of...
Romance?
No, it still needs to have some kind of antique to it. You know, the girl needs the guy to save her. And that's how
we pass that? We're done. We're done with that.
No.
You still think you want the damsel in distress?
What? In this story, yeah.
How about Melissa McCarthy as the bodyguard, Justin Timberlake? Or Justin Bieber as the singer?
I feel like you're not taking my choice seriously here.
But I'm taking your choice seriously with the bodyguard. It came out of left field. That's all I'm saying. But I respect it because I like the bodyguard. And I wouldn't want him to ruin a movie that I originally liked.
Yeah.
So you don't think there's no way that that could be revisited?
No, I don't think it should. I think it can, and I think that would be people's mistake in thinking that it can be retouched. But I think that's what makes it so... That. It just should be left alone.
Just be a time capsule of its...
I don't think anyone can sing the way Whitney did back then to be able to... Well, you're going to say Beyonce or all that business? No, there was something about her voice and her presence and her aura when she was on stage. You know what I mean? And that can't be...
Yeah. Oh, I get it. Especially if you have like a... Like you said, you have a thing about it from when you were young, right? Where you used to sing along with it, and because it was there was a certain.
I had the tape.
So did I. Well, my dad, my parents had the tape, not me.
I know. I actually had the tape.
I believe you.
I liked it. I thought it was great.
But you probably only played side A that had Whitney on it. Can you remember any of the songs on side B?
We're not talking about the soundtrack. We're talking about the movie, and I kind of liked how it ended. Not what you expected. Like, I feel like in today's world, they would try to give you a happy ending. And back then, it was like, we can't be together. I love you, but we just can't. This isn't safe, and this is not the right thing to do. Hmm. So we're going to sacrifice our love. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You know what?
And I feel like in this day and age, everybody always wants to present a solution.
I feel so conflicted right now because out of all of the movies that I'm thinking could be remade, I'm coming up with all these different versions of it being remade that I would want to see. Adele and Daniel Craig, The Bodyguard.
Who's Daniel Craig again?
James Bond.
Okay, but this is...
I'm making you interested.
But this is like my exact issue. You're thinking of people that can just take up that mantle, be, what was his name again?
Kevin Costner?
Yeah, his actual name in the movie.
Oh man, I don't remember.
I feel like it started with a T or a C.
Because she always called him by his last, Frank.
Frank. Frank what?
Oh, it's okay. I'll look it up.
But anyway, I know it's not the people's choice. I know it's not a popular thing. I knew for sure it wasn't on your list. I really just don't think that's the type of movie that should be. Like I said, it lacked a lot of things, like acting. acting cues. But it's one of those that, you know, you just see the curled up Whitney Houston with her helmet and him holding her. Like...
Frank Farmer.
Farmer! That's the one!
Do you remember her name?
Yeah. Rachel.
Mm-mm. Rachel Maron.
Maron.
But you're right, Rachel. We remember their first names. All right, my last pick. Wrapping this sucker up. Should I go easy or should I go shocking?
Both. Just do it.
All right. I just want to say the movie that should never be attempted to be remade. Everybody knows how I feel. Back to the Future should never be remade. Don't try. Don't bother. Don't even make a fourth one. But my fifth pick of a movie that should never be remade, and I don't know if they ever would try to because it'd be too obvious, and you're going to be shocked with it. What do you think it could possibly be? This is a comedy, a romantic comedy. That I put on my list as my fifth pick of a movie that was just so good, probably the best romantic comedy I've ever seen. It should never be remade.
When Harry Met Sally should never be remade. Never. Ever.
Fist
ever.
Pump two times into the mic three times. That's my fifth pick. Don't remake it.
Absolutely.
And I think it's such a staple of a movie that they maybe could try to remake it in 10 years, long enough where people could forget about the original. But I think it's just right and timeless. And I love that it takes place in the 80s and that it's... Takes place in New York. There's just certain things about that movie that you can't recapture. Mm-hmm. And I could see them trying to do it because it's a rom-com.
Yeah.
But it's my fifth pick. That's the cherry on top of this episode. And I'm happy that you were able to pick it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Agreed?
I can't even. I was thinking of sharing that with you myself. It wasn't on my list, but I'm like, that's definitely that's another one that should never be touched. But then I'm like, you know what? No, I'm going to go left field. I'm just going to just show up and bodyguard it up. So I just went there.
What are your alternates before we get back into the bodyguard conversation?
Well, Godfather was on there.
Godfather.
Oh, it really is on there.
Another fist pump. This episode is going to be called Fist Pump.
I don't have them written. I had them up here. I've only watched it once. But I don't think Citizen Kane should ever be remade.
I don't think they will remake that again.
I don't think they never should. That's a classic. That's maybe one of the best movies that have ever been all time.
Yeah, that's what I've often heard it referred to.
And they
often refer to other things as the Citizen Kane of insert genre here. I've never watched that movie.
No,
I never watched it.
No.
I feel ashamed to say that, but I will. I never watched Citizen Kane. We'll watch it, though. Maybe we'll do an episode on it.
Yeah, it'd be good. That'd actually be good.
Shawshank Redemption.
Oh, my goodness. That's another one.
Never remake it.
That is the best ending, I think, of a movie, but I will not... I can't watch... Oh, it's terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible. But what redemption?
Fantastic. My favorite ending to any movie I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
And Godfather's on my list. And I am going to say that a movie that should never be remade is The Mighty Ducks. Just kidding. I just wanted to throw that out there. That'll probably get remade at some point in time in the near future.
I don't think, and I know this is a broad statement, but I don't think any Disney movie should be remade.
What about Jungle Book?
Animation.
Mm-hmm. No. I think for the most part, most movies shouldn't be remade.
Like, I know there's sequels and stuff.
Yeah, and sometimes I think sequels...
I think that's people's attempt. When they do sequels, it's their attempt to try to remake it.
Right, by trying to be true to the original characters. And look, we're in the universe of this thing. A movie that was remade that you feel shouldn't have been remade. You got one of those? Or should we say that for another episode?
Movies
that have been remade that should not have been remade.
I think there's tons. None that come to mind at this time.
I got one.
Please, enlighten us.
Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah, see, you know what? That movie...
I like the original so much more than the Johnny Depp one.
That movie freaks me out. I don't think it should have ever been made. That's just my personal
opinion. Even the original?
Even the original. Oh, that's like a psycho movie.
No.
No, absolutely. No, that movie is...
It was charming.
No, it's crazy scary. I can't handle that movie.
Really?
Yeah, it scares me.
It is a little bit. The singing, the fact that
it's surrounded, like, encased with children. No.
It's a little trippy.
No, it's... Yeah, it messes with your head. I would not recommend that movie to anyone. I know that people like it, and it's a classic and all this, but no, not for me. Shouldn't even have been made. Not even the first time. No. I disagree.
Well, with that, we'll end on the disagreements of Dav J and Eric Anthony. Thank you guys for listening to this episode. We hope you had fun going through our list of movies that should never be remade. If you've got some movies that you would have liked us to talk about, or that you think or come to your head that should never be remade, or maybe are on the verge of being remade and you want to speak your piece, send us an email at caveofsolitude@outlook.com and visit us at our website, caveofsolitude.com. Thank you to everybody for listening. Thank you, Daff J, for your awesome picks. And take care, everybody.
You know what I think our next, or maybe not the next one, but our other episode should be on? What's I have that? Another idea. I'm going to run it by you.
You want to put, okay.
I think we should do sequels that are better than the original.
Ooh, that's clever.
Right?
That's clever. Because that you're really going to think about.
I already have one.
Don't tell me.
I'm not going to, obviously not going to tell you. Not now.
Because that doesn't happen often.
Right? I'm the brains of this operation.
Oh, yeah. You're the brains of this operation. So sequels that are better. Yes, I got one.
I want to know now.
No, it's probably the same one you've got.
No.
Probably.
Who's in it? Don't tell me. I don't want to know. What's the song? Don't tell me. I don't
want to know. I'll tell you who's in it without saying his name.
Okay.
The governor of California.
No! No!
we'll do that as an episode. That's a good one.
Oh, man.
And we'll save that pick as like the definition.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll say that as a definition of what we're talking about here. That was funny.